Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, and welcome to the Newcastle Natter. My name is Fergus Craig, and I'm joined by Paul Doolan.
Hello.
And Dave Watson.
Oh my God, I'm knocked off the top spot.
Were you, okay, the last recording, were you on the top spot?
I think so. Okay. I have a vague memory of finally usurping Paul, okay. But...
Mm. I think that was a special treat, Dave. that was an outlier. No, this is the first Newcastle Natter of the 2022-23 season. When you were children, what did you think would be happening in the 2022-23 season? We're all supposed to be playing with jetpacks by now, right?
Yeah.
I swear I saw something that sometime this month, George Jetson was due to be born.
Mm. I remember seeing, just talking about the future, around the time I was doing a paper round with my mate, I think about 96, I remember seeing a tabloid on the back page. It was doing a thing on, it was predicting how much certain footballers were going to cost in a few years' time. But they were doing it with current young players. And like Darren Huckabee was having like a really good season for Coventry.
Did we sign Darren Huckabee? I feel like we bought him from Lincoln.
Yeah, he didn't play. Ah. I think he might have had like one league game.
He was the reason Shearer's first game was against Lincoln. That was like,
that's right,
part, yes, of the deal.
Never played a league game for us. But anyway, but Darren Huckabee was like, he was going to be like 12 million or something. That was their prediction, which seemed insane that a footballer could cost 12 million. It must have been pre the Shearer signing. Hmm. Also, Darren Huckabee never made it to 12 million. I mean, footballers definitely made it to 12 million.
Yeah.
Darren Huckabee didn't quite. But have you had a good break, guys?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I have.
both did Iron Appa, Ibiza.
Yeah. Cousin like, Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
By the
and
pool.
Now it's just all about fitness, isn't it? So we've like transfer window. Should we talk about
it's good that we've taken a long rest and we're back and we're well oiled like a slick machine.
Well, you know what we're gonna talk about, right? We're gonna talk about the transfer window. What we think of what we've got and what we think we need. We're going to predict what we reckon is going to happen in our first game of the season against Nottingham Forest and in the season as a whole. We're going to take some questions and comments from the Newcastle Natter followers on social media. And in general, we're going to have a lot of diversions. It's all going to crumble and it's going to end
That's quite good. I feel safer now, knowing the framework. That's good. Yeah. It's reassuring.
So, transfer window. Paul, what's your overall impression of how we've done in the transfer window so far?
I think so far is the key. I think in the last two transfer windows, our defence is stronger than I think it's been in living memory. We've actually signed players we need. We've essentially signed three defenders already. Pope, Botman, Target. Mm-hmm. That's three players who will strengthen our back five. I think that's been encouraging. I think what's slightly worrying, I think Eddie Howe wanted at least one new attacker, whether that's a right winger or a striker, in before. At the same time, we got Botman to have a full pre-season, and that has not happened.
No. But then I've been talking about this with mates, and the pool that we're fishing in is so small, and it's always going to be a difficult window for us, because although theoretically we've got a lot of cash, we don't want to spend it all this window, and we don't want to, like, I don't know, we don't want to, like, blow our wad, ruin our FFP wiggle room, and end up in a position where maybe we need something in January or next summer and we can't afford it because we fucked ourselves with FFP now, which is why we're not spending £80 million on James Maddison. You know, it's going to be tricky, especially like in a post-COVID landscape where there's going to be less movement because more clubs are in a position where they can't take a gamble that they would have been comfortable with beforehand.
So we've got, wouldn't that mean that there's more clubs who want to sell their assets, so they've got a bit of cash?
They want to sell their deadwood, but fewer other teams are willing to pay. Like, take Leicester, for example. Like, one of the reasons that the Sharks are circling that club, like, Chelsea are after Fofana. Schmeichel's gone to Nice, I think, or Lille, one of the two.
Nice.
Tielemans is getting, like, admiring eyes from people, and obviously Maddison. They've got a lot of well-paid fringe players that they can't move on, and that means that their premium assets, they're the ones that people want to buy, and Leicester don't want to sell them. So they're in a difficult position where they can't make the signings yet. They've got to get rid of some of the deadwood.
And that's they wanted to get rid of deadwood, and we bought Chris Wood.
Yeah.
Other than Chris Wood, what we have bought, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I haven't really sort of put it all into perspective. Since the new ownership, we've now got a new keeper in the shape of Nick Pope. We've mm-hmm. got a whole back four in the shape of Matt Target, Dan Burns, Ben Botman, and Kieran Trippier. Mm-hmm. And we've got I think when we bought him, I think we probably thought he was more of a defensive midfielder than he is, but we've got a midfielder. But mm-hmm. other than Chris Wood, who, you know, I think we've done pretty well in our buy so far, but he's the one who hasn't really, certainly not exceeded expectations so far as a player for us. We haven't actually bought any attacking players, have we? So it would
and we've lost Dwight Gayle. Not that he was really much of a problem. We've got two strikers on the books. I think there's the sort of uncertainty of whether we need a striker who can go straight into the first team or more of a young attacker who can play across the front line and grow into the role. Because I mm-hmm. think there's a lot of itchy fans thinking we need a striker now. And Callum Wilson's injury record would suggest there's some truth to that. But I think Wood showed he can deputise. And I think for strikers, we may have to be patient because it's a bit of a merry-go-round with strikers. It's sort of not all one moves that others start moving as well. And there's going to be a lot of business done at the end of the window, especially with like loan players as well, which I wouldn't rule out.
Well, as I said before, in the past, there aren't many strikers around anymore. So,
no.
Which I still stand by the way. anyway.
But if you look at the players that we've been linked with, players like Ekitike or however you pronounce it, we agreed the fee, but we couldn't agree personal terms with him, and he eventually went to PSG. That kind of player is like Paul is saying, like he's a young player who would be on the fringes and could deputise for Wilson if and when he got injured. That's the kind of market that we're trying to buy from, but it's a really difficult market because if they're young and promising, it's not just us that's looking at them. It's the type of teams where we are aiming to go. So they're already in the Champions League. They can already offer European football. They can already offer huge wages and much better players alongside them, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a really difficult market. I think a lot of the fans need to take a fucking breath, remember where we were 20 months ago and the kind of players we were looking at then, like being disappointed we couldn't get Hamza Chowdhury in on loan. So as Paul says, we've completely overhauled our defence. We look really good at the back. We could have a very good midfield if we pick up one more. And we've still got Callum Wilson, who's still a really good fucking striker. So let's not piss our pants.
So we should go through the signings that we've made. But I wanted to talk about James Maddison at the moment. This might date very quickly. But at the time of recording, we've had two bids turned down for him, and apparently we're considering a third. We'll see. I really like James Maddison. I would love it if he became a Newcastle player. But my question is, like, where does he fit in for us? If we're going to still play, maybe we're not. Maybe it gives an indication of what Howe would like to do in the next season. But if we were going to still play 4-3-3, is he in the front three or the middle three?
He doesn't really fit in a 4-3-3. He's sort of a textbook number 10. Like, he's the sort of player you can shift out there occasionally, but he's as most dangerous as a number 10. You sort of think, I feel like we'd have to do 4-2-3-1 to accommodate him. I do.
Or 4-3-2-1.
Yeah, I do think in Joe Linton and Bruno, I think we have a pair that are capable of being like a deep lying midfield two. But it did seem an odd one, that, because all the talk is we're looking for a right winger or a left winger, and then St. Maximin can go out to the right. And yeah, Maddison is a great player, but it's, do we then have to change the system we've spent all pre-season getting used to? Or would we stick him out on the right?
Because if you look at how Almiron, who had a phenomenal preseason for what it's worth, he was playing ostensibly on the right, but he was driving in a lot more, like in a traditional inside forward style. And then you had players like Longstaff or Joe Linton on either wing actually making the overlapping runs, or Willock.
And I suppose it's no different to like Grealish at Man City in terms of not an out-and-out winger.
Is Maddison a Grealish? Like I associate Grealish with running with the ball.
Yeah.
I don't really associate Maddison with that. I associate him with, maybe I'm wrong, but I see him more as a like passer.
Silva, who used to be at Man City. That sort of can play anywhere along the front three, in that if they're not an out-and-out winger. Because I think, especially down the right-hand side, it seems to be more about overlapping and underlapping runs from the centre mids and the right back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like him, but yeah, I agree. Cool. That was a surprise.
You were talking about that.
Oh, don't worry.
That sounded really good. That sounded like really like...
I haven't got a clue.
Sorry, go on, Paul.
No, I was going to say, but I think I agree that it's a very odd player for us to be linked with. You sort of think if we're looking for that kind of number 10, we've sort of got a few players who can play that position but haven't been given a shot there. If you look like Almiron and Anderson.
Yeah, but I think you've got to look at the levels that those players are versus the level that Maddison is. I mean, Maddison is, in terms of output, in terms of statistical output, he's up there with Jack Grealish, genuinely. Yeah. And the different styles of footballer. But, you know, so if we were to have signed James Maddison, and we might still, we would play a system that gets the most out of them. And it might be a lopsided system where, although he's out on the right, he's more central, but St. Maximum's, like, you know, hugging the left touchline. It could be that we change everything. But he's good enough to allow us to do that. I think the big issue is our valuation of the player versus Leicester's valuation of the player are sufficiently far apart that unless something seismic happens with either club, I can't see the deal being done.
Well, also, I mean, I really rate him, and I also he comes across quite well just as a person. I quite like him in interviews. I would quite like him to be as a player.
I think he makes sense as a signing. It's sort of like why we signed Chris Wood, because we were in direct competition with Burnley. Sort of think now we're in direct competition with Leicester. It's sort of, it's strengthening us and weakening them.
But the other question I was going to say is that, and maybe this will be one of the things that stops it happening with the valuation getting so high. And from their point of view, I don't think it's ridiculous that they would want 50, 60 million for him. No. How much did they pay for him? Didn't they pay like 30 or something? Anyway, there's only so much money we'll have left, I presume. And surely, just with the fragility of Callum Wilson as a player and the fact that, I mean, pre-season aside, for all that they can be good for us, players like St. Maximin or whatever, once Callum Wilson is injured, we do not have a lot of guaranteed goal output.
Yeah, really, but I think the amount we spend, I think the more pressing issue is that sort of attacking midfielder winger. I think there's players like Broja or Broha at Chelsea where you'd be looking at like a loan with a view to buying. So I feel like we can fill that gap without it being a massive FFP problem.
And you've also
got to loan someone, they'll be expected to play, right? But what we actually need is someone who...
Well, I think if you're loaning...
We've got Chris Wood, but he just doesn't... But
if you're a striker signing for a team where Callum Wilson's the first-choice striker, you would just have to look at his record in the last few seasons and think, I'm going to get 15 games.
True. Yeah. I also think that if the right player, say we did go off and spend 55 million on Maddison, that's already 5 million over the mooted £200 million budget for the last season and this window as well. Like, that's already over it. I think if the right striker suddenly became available for whatever reason, because of that merry-go-round we were talking about, we could, without breaking FFP, go off and spend another £30 million on, I don't know, whoever the fuck ever, Hossaloo. But like, we could go off and do it without falling foul of FFP. Yeah, I don't think we will, because I think we'll either sign Maddison and then go off and get a loan player, or we'll sign another attacking talent in whatever position and loan fill the right wing or striker, whatever it is.
I think FFP as well, if you look at the Nick Pope deal, that's all in installments. That seems to be the way we're looking to buy players at the minute. So it's not the whole chunk goes into next year's FFP.
So
I've just very quickly on that, I don't think that's the case, because I think in terms of FFP, they look at the cost of the transfer in its entirety rather than when the money's coming in, because it's the amortization of the player rather than the how you structure the deal.
Well, that's
I actually choose not to believe that.
if you say I do not consent.
Yeah.
And then you like reference the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't FFP doesn't count. They can't force you.
Yeah. It's like if you write I don't want you to have my privacy as a Facebook status update, then
yeah,
they don't own anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So This is what I propose. I propose that we have a break now, and then after that break, we talk about the players that we have actually signed, and then we'll look forward to 2022-23. Welcome back to the Newcastle Natter. So, let's talk about what players we have bought. We've signed permanently. He was with us for the second half of last season, but we've signed permanently Ben Target.
Ben Target?
We're all happy with Ben Target, Matt Target. I think Ben Target is a comedian. Matt Target. We're all happy with Matt Target, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting at the start of the window. We were getting linked with a lot of left backs who were much more attacking. It seemed to be after Dan Ashworth came in, we went back for Target. I think there was a sort of a realization of the pace of the building project that the club is. Where it's like, no, let's not go for ultimate targets for everything right now. Target makes sense. So just get him through the door.
I'd like to think that what we're building here, now I may get this wrong, was it the New Zealand rugby team or something? I think it's one of the New Zealand teams.
No dickheads.
Yeah, the no dickheads policy. And I'd like to feel that what we're building is a no dickheads policy, and that there's a feeling that, well, Matt Target's a pretty good left back. He did well for us and he fits into the no dickheads policy.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely true. It's something that Howe has spoken about a few times, about like the players having the right character. And everybody we've signed so far seems...
English. Sign a lot of English players.
British. You don't get English dickheads. That's just a fact.
I think... Hang on. I'm just trying to do... Oh, we signed four. Four out of the six players we've signed are English.
There you go. And the other one's Chris Wood. That's basically English.
And Bruno.
The other one's called Bruno. And Brazilian's different because Brazilians, they just love the beach. Just different. Anyway, fine. Yeah. We've also signed the Pope. Nick Pope, another Englishman. Pretty good, right? We're all happy with that.
Yeah. England international keeper for 10 million.
So what is the thinking behind that? Is he a... Because Dubravka's been a pretty good performer for us in a what is has been not the strongest squad in the league, but Dubravka's been pretty good for us. What is the thinking with Nick Pope? Is he better at distribution? Is that the idea? Is he better at his feet?
Well, he's a world-class shot stopper. He is better with the ball at his feet than Dubravka is. He also plays further up the pitch. He's involved in more sweeping actions than anybody bar, I think, Edison in the league. So he plays further up the pitch, which means our slower centre-backs won't be in as much trouble if they get turned, because he'll be close by. It also means that the entire team can push further up, which means players like Saint-Maximin and Almiron and, you know, Willick or whomever will be closer to their box earlier. So Saint-Maximin doesn't have to beat four players to get into the box. He only has to beat two.
And does anyone want to sign Dubravka? Because surely...
Well, Leicester are sort of... There's a lot of putting two and two together and thinking Leicester have just sold Kasper Schmeichel. We're trying to buy a Leicester player. It would make sense. I think for the right team, Dubravka makes a lot of sense as a Premier League goalkeeper. It's just his injury record. I think if Burnley was still in the league, he'd be sort of a better fit for them than Pope almost, or a similar kind of fit.
Yeah. Like if any of the promoted sides wanted to upgrade their keeper, Dubravka's a really good shout. You could probably get him for less than 10 million quid.
And in Sven Botman, we've signed one of Europe's most highly rated up-and-coming central defenders, or so I'm told. And also, I would suggest in the Premier League, the player with the name best suited to being a porn director.
Yeah.
Sven Bodman. It's like a Harry Enfield character. Now I have a new character. He's a porn star. Sven Bodman.
I feel like you could easily get cancelled over creating that character.
Really? Why?
I think you could go hard on the... I guess it's not really punching down to have a go at the Swedes, is it? You're fine. Go for it.
It's fine.
Yeah. I tell you what, have you watched any of the pre-season?
Only little bits. Go on.
He looks really good. I know it's pre-season.
Yeah.
And I know it's very different in the Premier League, but honestly, he just looks like, really good. Imperious. And he's a big lad too. And Byrne. Fuck me.
So... is he? I always put central defenders into two categories. I call it basically Rio Ferdinand of the John Terry.
He's a Rio.
Rio.
Yeah. I think as well, he's another one who, like Nick Pope, he's there. His pace is sort of not that he's the quickest, but he seems to be there for that higher line as well. He's more suited to that than Cher or Byrne.
People have been talking about. who our central defensive pairing will be. I would suggest, I know a lot of people are quite keen on Botman and Cher, but I would suggest that that's two Rio Ferdinands and therefore doesn't
work. I think
you can't have Rio too.
I think because they're symmetrical, like you got a right footer and a left footer, that sort of makes kind of sense, but I prefer the idea of Byrne and Botman.
Which is sounds like a good like cop duo.
Yeah,
Byrne and Botman.
Botman and Byrne. What has surprised me is how much game time Lascelles had in pre-season, and that he's been named. You know, he's still club captain. I would have expected him to have dropped down the pecking order so much that being the captain would have been taken away from, because now is the perfect time to do it. You know, you give it to Trippier, or you know.
Yeah, I think it's kind of been
a real show.
I think that's been done sort of with the caveat that Trippier will be captain for most games. It's just Lascelles is there as club captain. It seems to be more of not wanting to make all the changes in one go and upset the dressing room too much. I don't think Lascelles is going to start many Premier League games unless there's injuries, but he'll. The thing is, this season, you got five subs, so players that wouldn't get a look in normally will get more minutes.
That is true.
And hopefully will be involved in the cups.
I thought he might be off, but clearly it would seem not.
Well, Fernandez is still there. That's the one that's more surprising.
Yeah, that's weird. It could just be... I mean, he mustn't have long on his deal, Fernandez, so... I would have expected, it might just be that they're going to keep him around the club. And have you seen what's happened with Man U have signed Tom Huddleston?
Oh, yeah. For their under 23s.
Yeah. So he's going to
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. it seems to be a trend that's coming in more and more that you sign an experienced sort of player coach to be in your under 23s.
Right.
Tom Huddleston, not Tom Hiddleston.
Okay. So Tom Huddleston won't be registered for the Premier League first team squad.
No.
And won't be eligible because he's not under 23.
It's there purely to help the development of the players in the under 23 teams.
And you can name a couple of players over the age of 23 to play in that in the under 23 games.
They
do it a lot.
Sorry, who would you bring back from our like eligible players that have played for us recently to be in our under 23s?
So players who are still playing have played for us.
Yeah.
Jem Milner.
I was going to say Milner, yeah.
I would love him to be in our first team, though.
Mitrovic?
I think it needs to be someone like late 30s.
Oh, right.
Someone who realistically is not good enough. I mean, I'd like to bring Scott Parker back.
Stephen Taylor?
No. What about Dwight Gayle? Seriously, he's a good finisher. He's got a good movement.
I think he's in a couple of years, a solid pro. He can. I think if you're looking for an older pro to be in an under-23 team, central midfield seems the right position, or centre-back. You sort of you want to be bringing on your strikers.
What about Danny?
You'd be annoyed if your young strikers weren't progressing because Dwight Gayle was keeping them out of the under-23 team.
Well, consider this brings us nicely on to a tweet that we've received from All Hail Teague, who says, "Hey, fellas, hope you all had great summers. What former Newcastle player do you guys think would fit best into our squad?" Good question.
Yeah.
What would fit best into our squad? I would say,
do they have to still be playing?
No, I don't think so. I think he's saying.
I mean, Shearer's the right answer to any of those questions, so I'm going to take him off the board. But so, I would say Tiote.
I would say what we need is, St. Maximin's on the left, but I would say what we need is either like Ribeiro, Ginola, or
Solano.
Solano. Or, he would be the perfect shout.
Actually, Keith Gillespie.
No, I disagree with that.
I think in a way, someone like Demba Ba with St. Maximin on the right would work. Oh, that sort of wide forward. Because Solano never really quite did that role.
Can we not just have Tino? Have St. Maximin and Tino as brilliant.
I mean, depending on how well he does this season, Mitrovic might be the right answer. Or Ivan Toney.
Yeah.
I feel like we need a I feel like striker-wise, which is, again, why I feel like Chris Wood wasn't the right buy, really. I think striker-wise, what we need is like someone, a bit of a runner, you know?
Yeah.
We need Owens, not Heskies.
Yes.
To go with my saying, like, 2002 World Cup analysis. Yeah. I would like to. Yeah, Tino and St. Maximin in the same side would be great. Just not making
it. Be fucking hilarious.
All Hail Teague also says, also, if you haven't covered it, who will be our top scorer this year? Excited for another season. Your expert analysis. Who will be our top scorer this year? I mean, surely it's Callum Wilson, right? Unless we buy someone else.
Yeah.
Really, although if Almiron actually plays and continues his scoring run from pre-season,
I'm excited to see how he does, because it's the pinch of salt any pre-season needs, but especially our pre-season, is we've not been playing against Premier League teams.
No, but we've been playing against good sides. Like we've played Bilbao, we've played Atalanta, we've played.
They're not English, Dave. They're not English.
Seem to remember Emmanuel Riviere scoring quite a few in pre-season.
Sure, but I think so. Last season we had the real renaissance of Joe Linton and Emil Kraft to some degree. Their redemption stories were quite exciting. It could be Almiron's turn to have a redemption story, because I still think there's a decent player in there. I don't know if he's going to maintain his scoring, but he can be effective. He wins a lot. I mean, he works his fucking bollocks off. He covers a lot of ground. He's technically okay. He's certainly good enough for the Premier League.
I think the problem, the reason why we've been looking for right wingers is Almiron in that position last season had less goal involvements than Kieran Clark.
Yeah. And yeah, that's
can't
the
happen
issue.
With a right forward.
No,
sorry, I was going to move it along. Go on.
Yeah, go.
G-Rick says, which of our players would be best placed to succeed Boris Johnson as PM? I'd say Shah has a touch of the ex-investment banker about him. I've got a poll for this. I've got one.
I think Dan Byrne would be a good prime minister.
Okay. Make your case.
Just seems quite sensible, but also like angry at the right time. I think he'd be good at PMQs. I think he'd look good on the photo shoots. He'd just be taller than anyone he's up against.
Could be just awkward at the G7.
I would say Sean Longstaff, because he's got that like vacant look in his on his eyes, and he could pass for, like, just going off his look, he could, you know, stick him in a dicky bow and all the rest of it. He could pass for a chinless wonder from Eton. So yeah. Sean Longstaff.
Okay. I think Paul Dummett, because I think what we've had in this country for a little while now is very ambitious sort of politicians who are quite flashy and will do what they can just to stay in power. Whereas I feel like Paul Dummett's just got that sort of, what I think what the country needs right now is a team player.
Someone you can just, definitely see, quite, yeah.
Just someone who's just quite diligent and will do what's needed.
I could see him leading
as a union leading.
Yeah, I could see him leading a, what's it called, when it's like a cross-party coalition government.
Sure. Yeah, I think he'd just do what he needed, what was needed at the time. He's also probably, I've got no idea, but probably quite thick, so
I don't think so. He seems
Better than this lot we've got in bloody power now, eh, guys?
Yeah.
Paul M says, would you rather have no hands or no feet? All right, okay. In a footballer, I'd say no hands.
Yeah.
Unless he's a keeper.
And there we are.
In a glove model, no feet.
Although, actually, even in a keeper, I think I would rather have no hands and no feet, because without the feet, it gives you the spring, and then he can you'll still have
shot stopping stumps.
And they were a good band, actually, the Shot Stopping Stumps. I know you're writing that down now as a possible pod title, but I don't think that's good. I don't think we should move on.
You can read me like a book. Is that
not without hands? He can't.
So far.
I'm reading this one blind. Let's hope it moves us out of the politically incorrect area. It's from Phil Huntsman. He says, "It's great to see you're back." Which of our current squad would be the quickest to solve a Rubik's Cube? I mean, it's interesting that people, there are some questions about tactics and whatever, but people don't come to the Newcastle Net for in-depth analysis, do they, really?
Mm. And I feel like Almiron would be worryingly quick at solving a Rubik's Cube, to the point where
I think he'd be very quick at moving the square.
I think you'd leave him alone with one and look back down after a split second and it's done. And you'd just be like, we can't have them near him anymore. It's too unsettling. And even though you don't give him a Rubik's Cube, he'd hand you a completed Rubik's Cube. And you'd be like, there wasn't even one in the room with him. We checked.
Are you like?
Then you'd have to sell him.
Are you likening him to like an Appalachian Mountain banjo player?
Exactly. In my head, he's like, if there was like a big family and like one of the kids is like actually an alien, but like in disguise. Oh dear. Do you really find just really thinking about what are you? Like, what are you?
Every street light he walks under just buzzes a bit. That sort of vibe.
Yeah, like if there was a place, this is a different question, but like, what player on our squad would you most think that cutlery might stick to magnetically?
You know what? We are no better than Jack Grealish right now.
Hey,
I like him. I like him. I'm just, you know, and I don't mean anything.
He's just weird looking. He's just weird looking.
Weird looking, yeah. It's fine.
I think the moment I'm looking forward to most in the season, not that you've asked, but off the back of that, is Joe Linton killing Jack Grealish when we play Man City.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's definitely going to happen.
And here's a question, another question from Phil Hudson, and a throwback to darker days. It's a good question. I think we should not dwell on it too long. That's just quick answers. What are our percentage chances of us going down / qualifying for Europe? So let's define Europe as Europa League, right? It's just
not Conference League.
Not Conference League. What is it? Top eight Europa
League? Top seven?
Top seven.
Mm.
Let's define it as top seven, right? So percentage chance of top seven, Paul?
I think 50%.
50%, Dave?
Like 30%.
30%. I'll split the difference at 40%, but all pretty reasonable. And relegation, Paul?
2%.
Dave?
5%.
I was going to say 5%. Yeah, and I feel like it should be a bit higher. But yeah, 5%. I mean, we went on a fantastic run at the end of last season.
Mm.
We have a much improved squad and a better manager.
Yeah, although the I was thinking that,
still our captain.
I was thinking that earlier today, and then actually the teams who finished around where we want to be competing, if you look at like West Ham, they've spent more than we have. So it's like we've still slightly gone backwards.
So far.
So far, yeah. A lot of the teams have improved more than we have.
Do we currently have a better squad or worse squad than Everton?
Better. Yes, we have a better squad than Everton.
I think Everton will go down this season.
They've just lost Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Yeah, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin's out for a significant portion of time. And if you look at their like attacking talent, it's like Damari Gray and Andros Townsend. I don't think they've got much up front. And what Pickford is...
Well, I don't know if you can...
We can't really talk about that on the pod.
Oh, right, okay. There's an internet rumour I wasn't aware of. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. I think they're in real...
You might not like him so much once you've Googled it.
Okay. You have to take that poster down.
I've got no opinion on the guy, but, you know.
You will.
We should probably edit this out. No one fucking listens anyway. Okay. So Tyne Tames says, "Will we ever sign a centre forward?" So we have talked about that a bit. But
I think we will, because we are actually, as a club, signing the players we need, and also the reason we're not signed one yet is because we're not panicking into signing just anyone. We seem to be getting the right players and the right characters. So we definitely will. I don't feel the fear of like, we'll get to deadline day and start spunking money on someone who's not right.
Yeah.
Although Chris Wood would argue against that as the example of the only striker we've bought under this regime.
But I think Chris Wood comes with like a big asterisk after him, because it was... Like you said before, it was damaging a direct rival, because at the time we were in a relegation fight with Burnley and, you know, four other clubs. And we effectively hobbled them and slightly strengthened us for the cost of like 25 million quid. Because if they'd kept Wood and we had to rely on Dwight Gayle, I don't think we would have scored any more goals than we did. And I think they would have scored a lot more goals than they did.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd still rather have the 25 million to spend on someone else. But our form with Chris Wood starting was like top four form. So
he does do a lot. But I know the most important role of a striker is to put the ball in the back of the net, but he does do a lot around, you know, keeping the ball, winning free kicks, winning corners, that kind of like ugly side of things, which, yeah, you can buy somebody to do that for 5 million quid.
Yeah. He's our kind of Poundland Firmino, where he's not going to be 20 goals a season, but he's going to bring other people into the game more.
Yeah. And you never know.
He might kick on a bit. Better Firmino.
No.
When you said Poundland and then paused, I was expecting you to say like Duncan Ferguson or someone like that, but not Firmino.
Wow.
Okay, so our first game of the season is against Nottingham Forest. Let's do the prediction for that first. It's away, isn't it? Is it away?
No, it's home.
Right. No, it's home. Great. Okay. Fine. Good.
Is it worth...
Good start.
Is it worth predicting? Because I think there's three areas where it's still up for debate who's going to start. Okay, the centre-back, that third midfielder outside Joelinton and Bruno, and right wing.
Just very quickly, just name what you think our 11 will be, Paul.
Okay, so...
What you think it should be, what you think it will. No, well, no, name what you think it should be. I think that's more interesting.
Okay, Pope.
Yeah.
Target, Trippier, Botman, Burn. Then I would go Bruno, Joelinton, Longstaff, Sean Longstaff. Then some Maximan, Wilson, Almiron. But it's going to be Almiron or Fraser, I think.
Okay, I'm going to copy and paste. My answer is exactly the same, Dave.
Yep, I would say exactly the same, but I might swap Willock for Longstaff.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, happy with that.
Great. I think the other good thing about the five subs, if we don't sign anyone else in midfield, Elliot Anderson will get game time if he sticks around. Because he's
looked really good, very because decent. He does look good, and hopefully he's not one of the many sort of like, what's the phrase, you know, but like promising young players that we've had that have ended up sort of like at Gateshead by the time they're 25 or whatever. So, yeah, hopefully he can become a Premier League player for us. Score predictions?
2-0.
2-0 from Paul. Dave?
I'm really struggling because they've signed a lot of players. So I don't know. I'd still fancy us to win 2-1, but they've signed a fucking load of players. They've got Jesse Lingard. They've got Neco Williams from Liverpool. Yeah, they've signed an absolute stack of players.
They feel like they've... You remember when Fulham came up and spent over 100 million and signed a load of players and it was a disaster? It feels like they've just watched that and gone, let's repeat it. Like Lingard is on 200 grand a week, pretty much, or 180 grand. He's on more than most of the rest of the squad combined. It's such a bizarre approach they've taken.
We'll see. Yeah. I always think that often the first game for a newly promoted side is not necessarily indicative, or the first few games for a newly promoted side aren't necessarily indicative of how their season's going to ultimately go. But I feel like people always forget that one or two of the newly promoted sides usually pick up quite a few nice results in the first few games because their sides who are coming up who've been winning, they've been winning a lot of games.
Mm. Mm.
And
I don't know what their pre-season's been like, but I do think it's because they're a bit of an unknown quantity now.
Even to themselves.
Exactly. So
I think if it was the first game of last season and we were the team we were at the start of last season, I think we'd almost be guaranteed to lose it. I just think the atmosphere is going to be something completely different.
Yeah. I think because of the atmosphere, they're just such positivity. 3 o'clock kickoff. I think we will win. I think 2-0 is a good prediction. Okay, so you might as well, let's just do it. We never go back and remember what we said, but let's do it. If you had to bet on a place that we were finishing the table at the end of the season, Paul Doolan, what would it be?
Seventh.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Dave?
Ninth.
No, I genuinely was going to go eighth, so that's where I'm at.
Ah.
Okay.
I'll change that if we go and sign James Maddison and a wonderful striker. Then I'll move to seventh.
Where did we finish last season?
10th? Or was it 11th?
11th.
And then under Bruce, we finished 12th. Would be quite funny if it were basically around the same. Spending a couple of $100 million. The mood would be much better. We'd be all really positive.
Yes.
But we'd finish about 12.
I think we'll finish above Man U this season.
Oh, that's a good prediction. That's a more interesting
big
prediction.
Yeah. I think we'll finish above Leicester, and I think Everton will go down.
Yeah, same. I think there's a world where Brentford, Everton and Leeds all go down and all three promoted clubs stay up. But I think Forest will go down.
I think Lampard will be gone before Christmas.
Yeah.
I've not really followed...
And I think Hasenhüttl will be gone before Christmas too.
Ooh.
I haven't followed Leicester's transfer activity, but...
There's nothing to follow. They haven't signed a single player.
But in terms of who they've lost as well?
Schmeichel,
Wesley Fofana's going to Chelsea, and he's their, like, you know, their top tier centre half.
Yeah.
When they lose him, they've got Evans.
And then they could lose Maddison. Yeah, I think we probably will finish.
They could lose Maddison and Tielemans.
And it's fair to say that Demi Vardy's head might not be in the right place right now.
He's got to control his bloody wife.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't he like 42 now? Nope, that's my age.
I always love the description of Jamie Vardy from the comedian Holly Walsh. He said he looks like a man who only eats crisps. Very good description.
Yeah. He said, well, he's like the British Almiron. Okay, let's leave it there. Thank you very much, Paul Doolan.
Good to be back. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave Watson.
Thanks, Fergus.
And thank you to you, the Newcastle NASA listener. Goodbye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.